This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio, and we'd like to welcome our new listeners in Wilmington. Starting today, we can be heard on member station WHQR. And if you're in Wilmington, here's a sound that might be very familiar to you. That is the American oyster catcher, large bird that dwells along the ocean shores and in salt marshes, and it is among the birds that pass from the coast to the mountains. And those birds are featured in a new report from the National Audubon Society. Scientists examined three decades of data and concluded that nearly half of the bird species in the United States and Canada are at risk of extinction because of climate change. Joining us now to talk about the report is the executive director of Audubon, North Carolina, Heather Hahn. Heather, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about the findings in this report.
So what we did was our Audubon scientists looked at 40 years of climate data and 40 years of bird data, took that together and figured out where birds' climate suitability is, and looked at that on the landscape and then started to think about the future and what that would mean for birds in a changing climate. So we took that out, and what we saw was that one in five birds are at risk for severe declines by the time that my daughter is my age, by the year 2050. And about half of our birds are facing that severe decline by the time she's my mom's age in 2080. So it's really a relatively short time frame.
So what you're looking at, again, is the birds, where they are, their range and what their habitat requirements are, and then projecting climate change over that period and the impact it has. Have you also seen a decline in bird populations and in species? Was that any part of the report?
So, yes. So we already look at bird data. We have the longest running data set of any animal in the Christmas bird count. That's a citizen science project that's 113 years old. And so actually in 2014, what scientists, our Audubon scientists, found out was that over 60% of our wintering birds are spending their time further north since the 1960s. So we're already seeing major changes on the landscape with birds.
And, of course, when we're talking about birds, we're talking about big ranges, and this is the impact. If you're talking about global climate change, the effect of where they are and then where they go,
that's right,
is kind of important. Why do these ranges matter?
Well, ranges are really where the birds spend their time. So when it's sometimes difficult for people to think about because you see birds flying around everywhere, but they're actually really specific about where they spend their winter, where they spend their summer. And those ranges and those areas where they spend time have the things that they need there, the specific rainfall and temperature. They're not too hot, not too cold, not too dry, not too wet. They have the habitat they need and the food they need. So when we're talking about big shifts in their ranges or radical declines in the amount of range that they have that'll be suitable, then we really worry about the bird's ability to exist.
Now, there are other factors that account for changes or loss of range, right? I mean, development and other things. How did the researchers take that into account, or did they, as they examined the future for these birds?
So this study is actually at the very top level, rainfall, humidity, temperature, sort of the building blocks for what the birds need. So it does not take those things into effect. So really, in a lot of ways, it's the most conservative look at the future when you start to add in some of the habitat loss, development, sea level rise, some of the other threats that birds face. It could actually be a worse picture.
Yeah. So you did take a look at this was a national picture, and in fact it includes Canada because
right.
It turns out you don't need a passport if you're a bird.
That's right.
So there they go. 314 species of bird in the report facing decline. Many of them do spend part of their time in North Carolina. One of the most ubiquitous is the brown-headed nuthatch, which sounds just like this. You know, it's not so much that we can get the bird in here, but it's getting them to sing on cue that I think we should be applauded for. tell us more about the brown-headed nuthatch.
I love that call, and anyone in North Carolina really probably recognizes that. It sounds like your dog's squeaky toy, really. they're a statewide bird, really easy to recognize from that call. And they are facing already severe declines. And when you look at the climate study, what it shows, and you can get online and look at all the maps and look at the data for yourself at nc.audubon.org. But what it shows for that bird is more than 95% of their range will possibly be lost. And so that's a huge loss for that bird. Luckily, that's a bird that we already are working on, and we have projects across the state to help this bird. So, and it's something that everyone can do in their backyard. They're a cavity nester, and so they need places to nest. And so putting up a nest box in your backyard is a simple action that you can take for this climate-threatened bird, and that will really help.
And ordinarily they would find hollowed-out trees or that sort of thing, anything where there's a little hole.
That's right. And that's another thing you can do is if there's a storm and trees and branches fall down, leave them there. The brown-headed nuthatches really like them.
They really like them. Well, and that actually raises this other question, because as we do studies on birds, particularly with respect to climate change, there's two ways that these are relevant for us. One, they measure for us the impact or the effect, or I should say the severity of climate change. You should pardon the expression, the canary in the coal mine, right? As their species decline, it tells us something about our environment. On the other hand, there's something we can do to save the birds over and against what we're doing to the environment, and that's what you're talking about, efforts to save them.
Right. You know, there's many efforts across the state to stay in bird conservation, and so a lot of the birds that you'll see in this report, the brown-headed nuthatch, the American oyster catcher you heard earlier, the golden-winged warbler, we have efforts on the ground to save the birds now. We need them here so that we can help them bridge into the future, into that changing climate. There are other things we need to do, like reduce greenhouse gas emissions so that this isn't their final fate. But they are telling us something. They're a watchdog. You know, their fate is our fate. So we need to work together to do something.
We are talking about a report on birds in North Carolina as well as the United States, and we're doing that today on the state of things. Heather Hahn is with me, executive director of Audubon North Carolina. Well, let's listen to another bird, because you know, we've sort of been through the Piedmont. I guess the nuthatch is all over the place, right? But let's go up to the mountains now, where we can hear the sound of the golden-winged warbler. There was a little call and response there. Was that another warbler answering, or was that just an ambient, another bird we happened to catch with our microphones?
I think that was just another bird you happened to catch.
Yep. That's great. Tell us more about that bird.
So this is a beautiful bird found in the mountains. It, of course, the name describes it for you. It has golden wings. It actually nests on the ground. A lot of people think that birds only nest in trees. This is a bird that actually nests on the ground. They spend a lot of their time in Central and South America, so they're migrating from there up to here during nesting season. This is an interesting one for climate in that right now they're sort of a mid-elevation bird in the mountains. And so we think we're doing some studies in the mountains now that they may actually have a little wiggle room to move up the mountain. And so we're trying to think about programs with private landowners and public landowners, like state and national parks, to protect that habitat so that we can actually allow birds like the golden-winged warbler, the cerulean warbler, and others to move upward before they lose, you know, have to move elsewhere or not have anywhere to move. So this sort of elevational move.
Yeah, a little bit of a shift, although it's a bit like gentrification, right? I mean, somebody does get squeezed out of this picture
if
you keep going. And the other side of this is we talk about saving the, you know, efforts to keep the bird populations going. I mean, part of that is also because they're part of a greater ecology. So losing them is more than just losing a great sound and a pretty bird. They play a big part in the overall ecological picture, right?
Absolutely. When we start talking about half of our North American birds, you can't even put a picture together of what that would mean for the ecosystem as a whole. It would have devastating effects. But one of the things that I think is easier for people to picture is just insects. I mean, one bird feeding its young is hundreds of insects, thousands of insects in a week. You know, what would that look like without, you know, all of those birds on the landscape? What would the insect population look like? And there's studies, of course, coming out of India where their vulture populations are going way down because of poisoning and things. Mm-hmm. And now the people are getting sick because the vultures aren't eating the dead carcasses. So there's all kinds of connections to humans and to other animals as we see those changes.
Well, I tell you what, in terms of the bug population increasing, what would that look like? To my next guests, it would look like heaven. Because they study bugs all the time, although a couple of them put them to sleep. So we'll talk all about that. But I thank you so much for your contribution. Executive Director of Audubon North Carolina, Heather Hahn, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up next, hissing cockroaches, plant hoppers, and stink bugs, celebrities of Bugfest on the State of Things. Stay tuned.